Star Wars 7x7, episode 3580. Why are Darksiders' lightsabers red? There's a couple of different answers to that, but I wanted to explore an idea that came to me basically because of yoga retreats that I've been on recently. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Punch it. Hey, Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you to the patrons who help make this possible every single day with their help at patreon.com/SW7X7. So we're going to talk about red lightsabers today. We are seeing a red lightsaber excitingly in the first trailer for the Acolyte, of course. So naturally, that's making us think that some sort of Sith reveal is in the offing. And I've been thinking about red lightsabers recently because there's kind of a couple of levels of things about this. Like, one of the things that I'd been wondering about is why George Lucas decided to make Sith lightsabers red. I mean, we commonly associate red with evil. And so, yeah, that's kind of a very base level thing. But apparently, originally, as George Lucas envisioned Star Wars, all lightsabers were one color, and it was red. And I've been unable to find information about how the split happened, where the split happened, where suddenly the good guys had blue lightsabers in A New Hope and the bad guys had red lightsabers. The one thing we can definitely say is that the reason why Luke's lightsaber is green in Return of the Jedi is because he was waving it around against a blue sky, and for special effects, that wouldn't work. So it really was kind of a very practical answer that has then sort of been retconned in the best of ways into a new reality, a new way of talking about lightsabers and how they, you know, come to be in Star Wars storytelling. And the other thing we know about red lightsabers in Star Wars is that dark side users are not able to connect with kyber crystals in the same way that light side force users are able to. And so they have to go through these rituals of bleeding kyber crystals, which is basically like torturing kyber crystals until they turn red, and then they're able to use them more effectively, basically. But that didn't necessarily get me to the kind of thing that I was thinking about, which is just why the choice of red. And it had to be a little bit more meaningful than just, oh, red's evil. Everybody knows that red is evil. Lucas has said in interviews that he believes red to be an aggressive color, which is certainly not in keeping with the Jedi way of doing things. But beyond that, I haven't been able to find a source that definitively says why he decided that red was going to be for the bad guys. If you know of one, then please, like, drop it in a comment wherever you're seeing this or listening to this, or at the blog post for this show's episode at sw7x7.com. But one thing we know about Lucas is that he is and was a fan of Joseph Campbell, who is a comparative mythologist, and he has dabbled in Sanskrit stuff. Some of the character names in The Phantom Menace, for example, have Sanskrit origins. And that dovetails with me thinking about it from a yogic and chakra perspective. And it just happens that I am coming off a weekend of being at a yoga and wellness retreat, and I, you know, had the opportunity to actually deliver the keynote address at this retreat on the topic of hope, the heartbeat of hope, and how to sustain resilience in troubled times, which essentially is a building on the hyperspacing hope talk that I gave for TEDx Amiskag Milliard in 2019. So as an offshoot of that, I was looking at chakra systems, which have to do with energy systems in the body. And the root chakra, the base chakra, is the color red. It sits at the base of the spine, and I got to thinking, well, that's red. I wonder if there's any application to, you know, what happens with the dark side of the force and the Sith. And so that was drawing me to the idea of what happens when the root chakra becomes unbalanced or blocked. Now, the root chakra is sort of the foundation for the whole chakra system in the body. It goes into the sacral chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, a third eye chakra, and a crown chakra at the top of the head. And if the root chakra is messed up, then basically everything else is going to be messed up. So when you think about the idea of balance in the force, for example, that could also be within a person as well. And when a person is unbalanced, then yeah, that could be leading to trouble. And in particular, particular, when it's the root chakra that's blocked or unbalanced, then it means that pretty much the entire chakra system of a person is off kilter. Now, because the root chakra is a foundational one, the kinds of things that are associated with it are safety, security, stability, survival. And when the root chakra is unbalanced or blocked, experts say that the kinds of sensations a person with that situation would feel would be fear, and particularly fear of loss, distrust, depression, resentment, rage, difficulty in sleeping, paranoia, even an addiction to adrenaline-producing activity. And, you know, when I think about all of these things, it seems like if you consider Anakin Skywalker in the prequel trilogy, like every single box gets checked for all of these things. I mean, Yoda senses fear in him from the jump in The Phantom Menace. He has trouble sleeping in both Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. You think about his wild laughter in Attack of the Clones when he and Obi-Wan are chasing after Zam Wessel and he's in that just crazy straight down dive and Obi-Wan's kind of getting nervous and Anakin is like, ha 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 ha. There's paranoia about Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith. There's resentment about the fact that he is on the council without being given the rank of master. But even though it seems like Anakin checks all the boxes for this, I don't necessarily know if it applies across the board for all of our dark side force users that we're aware of. And so I think I'm going to sit with this for a little bit and kind of pick at other characters and see how well it applies. I mean, sort of the big names naturally would be Sheev Palpatine and Count Dooku, and perhaps even Asajj Ventress, at least in the early years, right? And Darth Maul, of course. We've also got a bunch of Inquisitors that we could dig into, but it's really only with characters like Maul and Palpatine and Dooku and Ventress that we have any significant backstory for their characters, like, you know, long-term backstory about their characters at younger ages. So those ones might be a little more useful, comparatively speaking. So yeah, so I'll look into those characters over the next little while here and there and see if what I find ends up supporting or disproving this idea. And yeah, we'll talk about it again at some point. But in the meantime, I'd love to hear what you think. Do you think this is an interesting theory that might actually, you know, have some validity? Like, might I be onto something? Or do you think it's now wild goose chase and not really relevant? I'd love to hear what you think. So please chime in. Comments on YouTube are right there. Q&A on Spotify is right there. And anywhere else you're catching this, head over to the blog post for the show's episode at sw7x7.com and let me know what you think. And that is going to do it for this episode of the show. If you enjoy the show, please consider leaving a rating or review, hitting a like, subscribe, or join button, telling your friends in the real world and online that this Daily Dose of Star Wars joy exists for them. And if you would like to support me as the creator, the one-man band behind this whole thing for the past almost 10 years in producing this Daily Dose of Star Wars joy, I could really use your help, even just for the price of a cup of coffee a month. It does more than you might even guess. And you can find out more about that at patreon.com/sw7x7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode. As always, and may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Field Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.